Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. Yes, and on this beautiful Valentine's Day that we're recording a few weeks, it's being broadcast a few weeks later, today we're going to talk about the notion of masculinity and the notion of mental health. And femininity, I guess, is the counterpoint to that. It's a beautiful concept for Valentine's Day.
I'm not sure we're allowed to say that, though.
All right. Anyways, this is Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. I'm Dr. Scott Terry. And the shows, the previous 66 shows, this is our 67th show, by the way, is archived on KRUU, which is, this is the station you're listening to, KRUU 100.1 in your FM dial. And a number of them are still getting posted on our YouTube channel, which is through Ardent Center. So you can look up Ardent Counseling Center, Ardent Counseling Center on YouTube. And you could email us. What's our email? They can email us directly. Danielle?
Scott@ardentcenter.com.
Thank you. And Danielle, why don't you introduce yourself?
So I'm Danielle McWilliams. I'm a graduate intern of Scott's. I will be finishing school in August.
And then you're going to pray for a job somewhere, wherever that might be.
Exactly.
Including where you're already working, which she's already apparently been hired by.
Yes.
Apart from the boss being insane. Okay. So, and with you today, Danielle, is?
My husband, Ryan. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hi, I'm Ryan.
And Ryan, you are in fact a man.
That is correct.
That is correct. I will have Danielle verify that for us later. But you are in fact a man, and part of what we're going to talk about is I want to hear your perspective on essentially a modern take of today's notion of what is masculinity from somebody who not only works with children, which you do, and you teach, you coach sports, and you work with kids. And what you see as an emerging trend of what is masculinity today. And I'm really excited to hear your perspective.
Yes. I believe it has changed some from what I remember back when I was growing up. It seems to be kind of, there's been more diversity, and I think it's slowly trending towards equality, which is a good thing.
Fantastic. And, well, do you want to say something a little bit more about it before Kyle and Elizabeth jump in?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay, so, Kyle and Elizabeth.
Hi, my name's Kyle, and I am a intern at Scott of Scott's. So speaking of masculinity, we're going to talk about Batman. And and of course, when you think about masculinity for a minute, you think of typical male, or you know, most people might think of that, and you think of the spectrum. You know, on one spectrum there's male, on the other spectrum there's female, and of course, you know, not everyone chooses to identify as female or male and such. But speaking about Batman, and we're talking about the typical stereotype of being a male.
That's also a really interesting point. Before you jump into Batman and Batman, Superman, whole thing. All right.
Just Batman.
Oh, okay. Just Batman. Is the whole notion of I love how you just said, we like to black and white this issue and say there is man and there is woman. And that is not true. And has not, never, ever been true. We just want to simplify because maybe our heads are too complicated and we want everything simplified. But there is also, there is not just, and there's a reason why it's LGBTQIA, and it's really a much more expanded notion of what is the full spectrum of what does it mean to be male, even if you're attracted to other men? Or what does it mean to be male when you're not sure that your body is male, or you're female and you're attracted? You know, again, the nuances are very much real, you know?
One of the things that I've learned recently from reading a lot of articles and also from my education, I went to Brown University, which is a very liberal place, and I learned a lot about the complexities of gender and the fact that it's really not black and white. one of the things that that I've learned is that basically these, so the idea of the outliers, the people who don't identify as male or females, I once used to think that those people were, you know, that's an anomaly. That's this random thing, sort of like studying extreme cases of, you know, mental illness or something like that. Not that I thought that it was a mental illness, but that it was a something that was very rare and didn't have that much to do with the rest of life. Mm-hmm. But what I have been learning is that actually when you think about people who don't identify with either gender, it starts to illuminate the problems with these gender categories for all of society, including people who do identify with one of those categories. So you start to say, well, wait a minute, what does being male actually mean? What does being female actually mean? Why are we so obsessed with these notions? And why do they have to be so black and white for everybody? So while most people are not going to fall under an extreme example of choosing not to embrace either gender, there may be something in it for everybody, something in this notion that that these genders don't have to be so polarized.
That's an excellent point. And speaking of that, you know, it's black and white thinking is typically, I mean, I consider it to be sort of immature thinking typically. And it's not black and white that black and white thinking might be immature. Or, you know, sometimes something is black and white, you know.
Like a black and white cookie.
Yeah, yeah, like a black and white cookie. Or like, you know, don't steal from, yeah, I don't know, your girlfriend who loves and cares about you. Like why would you do that? So one point I want to make is that back in like the 1960s there was these pictures of Batman or and even before that, you know, the way Batman was sort of created, he had like almost no muscle and he was a joke. It was a big joke. Batman and Robin were just jokes and they were humorous. Kapow, bow. You know, you have them in the comic books and such. And then, you know, maybe 10 years later, he starts getting drawn with a little bit more definition, more muscles. And then 10 years later, there's more muscles. And, you know, if you look at the current Batman, he's just talking with this super deep voice. He's like, I don't know, I can't do it. But it's just so quote-unquote manly, and his muscles are so quote-unquote manly now, and the way he walks is quote-unquote manly, and the way he treats the women around him are quote-unquote manly now. And, you know, when he was first created, he in the first comic books, like, he didn't have those big muscles, quote-unquote manly muscles, a definition and such, and even in the first TV show, you know, he talked like this. It's in Robin too, and it's just crazy. And so this is just the influence of, or actually the interaction effect between social media and media in general, and sort of the world, you know, the collective consciousness of us, what we collectively think about masculinity is sort of similar per se. And even if we disagree with those views, you still know what I'm talking about, because it's in that collective consciousness field where we sort of have that similar idea of what masculinity, what a male should be. I want a nice strong lumberjack man who can, you know, cut down a tree for me.
You know. Do you think, so like, Kyle, like with the things that you're saying, and it's almost like the way you're describing like this idea of masculinity, or this idea of like even just using the Batman metaphor, like it's like men are supposed to be perceived as protectors. Like men, that there's this masculine piece, or there's this notion that men are supposed to be protectors, or they're supposed to be mm-hmm. the ones that can fix everything, while right. women kind of just like sit back and wait to either be saved or protected or whatever it
right.
is.
Yeah, and they're supposed to, I completely agree, and they're supposed to be stone cold, rather emotionless. I mean, Batman was very emotional when he first came out, and he's far less now. in the typical movies and showing. And it's just, there's actually this movie Tough Guys, and they it's a great, it's like not tough G-U-Y-S, it's actually G-U-I-S-E, because it's a guise, it's this persona we take on. And it's about this movie, and it's a documentary of how in the documentary they ask kids in school of what men's supposed to be like, and they ask people typically, I think, from low SES even, and they have
socioeconomic status.
Yeah. And so they're asking people from a diverse range, so Latinos, Portuguese people, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And they're asking them what it means to be a man, and it means tough, and it means, you know, strong, and et cetera. And it's just sort of ridiculous to me at this point in my life.
I think the Super Bowl was an excellent representation of what a lot of us think of this idea of masculinity, especially the commercials as well as the actual action, because, you know, you see all these very strong men running at each other and being very aggressive, relentless, fearless.
And creating brain damage.
Well, that's right. Yes. So fearless. So feeling that pushing themselves to the limit and beyond is the most important thing, the first priority. And meanwhile, in these commercials, you have, you know, the gorgeous women who are there as objects and the men who objectify them. I'm thinking of a particular beer commercial we saw that you remember.
Well, I mean, beer itself is, you know, really high class. So.
Right, of course. So you see it, I think you see it everywhere, and it is incredibly pervasive.
And it's hurtful to society as a whole. It's hurtful if you're you know, quote unquote, a manly man, and that is you at your core, at your being, then that's fine. We honor and respect that. And if you're, you know, a traditional housewife to your core, and that's who you are, and that's who you want to be, that's what you want to create, then totally honor and respect that. But to have that as a standard creates a lot of pain in the atmosphere. It creates a lot of there's this whole epidemic. I mean, you have the sensitive kid in school, and then you have all of these boys, and what happens is that sensitive kid gets harassed for not being quote unquote manly. And there's even tons of cases of, you know, one example is a boy is being held down by the people picking on him, and he's sexually assaulted because of being different, not being quote unquote manly. And, you know, maybe one of those people that assaulted him aren't quote unquote manly either, you know, since he's sexually assaulting him. But it just creates a lot of pain and chaos by having these standards. And
to be clear, though, I mean, when it's very, very common that when there's a sexual assault, you know, that's a violent crime. That's not a sexual crime. People often confuse those two things. But so it's very common that a group of boys who are entirely straight in their self-identification will sexually assault a person, another boy, out of hatred, as opposed to out of some kind of sexual attraction or romantic interest.
Yes, and sexual assault really is, again, about that thing we talk about a lot, power and control, and about ripping that out of somebody. So even when somebody is raped, it's really about power and control, not sexuality. And I think it's really interesting. I want to hear back from from Ryan out there. But, you know, I also think this polarization of men becoming almost more stereotypical male, and at the same time we're saying men could cry and men should have feelings and men should be human, and women should not be objectified as sexualized objects, at the same time we tend to be almost always polarizing more, not just in the Super Bowl commercial, which glorifies that mentality, but also even in our politics has become much more polarized. And it's really about this over-the-top narcissistic extroversion of, here is what a man is. here is what a woman should be and her role in playing. Here is what, and it's like that same mentality keeps getting played out in all aspects of our society at the same time.
Leadership positions as well, not just in politics, but at the helm of any company, you have the same issues of men who are expected to behave a certain way and women who are not supposed to either fit into the mold of masculinity or fit into what is considered feminine, because, you know, if they appear too feminine, they appear weak. If they appear too masculine, they're labeled they're labeled negatively in a way that men aren't when they project that same
absolutely
same qualities.
I heard an interview with the head of Yahoo, a woman, describing her getting stuck in that between those two roles, and that's part of, I think, that glass ceiling. Is you can't win for losing, and you can't, you know, there's like no way out of that trap. Anyways, Ryan and Danielle, you guys take it away. By the way, you're listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. And today we're talking about masculinity. I guess we'll have a counterpoint show on femininity at some point. But right now we're talking about masculinity in today's society. And Ryan also had a really interesting perspective teaching boys. And having two little boys right now and thinking about what does it mean to not just be a man himself, but what does it mean to raise men, so to speak? And what is, you know, and how's that role changing? So take it away, Ryan, for a second.
Well, Scott, we only have one boy and we have one girl as well.
Ah, okay. So it's even better. You got that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You get to teach both ways.
Okay, good.
Femininity and masculinity. I think, you know, a big thing to think about when raising a child with masculinity in the society today, you need to teach them, you know, there's a lot of pressure to teach a boy to be strong, like we've already talked about, and not be afraid or not show emotion. But I think with the way that things are trying to change, and I think it's still a good thing to do to make sure that they are showing respect and, you know, showing emotions at times, because that's really important in connecting with your mental health and identifying, you know, that it's okay to have emotions, and that's a big thing. Others might give you a tough time about it, but you have to be okay with yourself and understand that that's going to help you connect best and keep you best, I guess, you know, best state of mind to have a good and healthy life. Because if you're not going to address those things, you're going to wall yourself off, and you're going to be, as Kyle was saying, kind of like Batman. You're going to get tougher and tougher, and pretty soon you're not going to know where to turn, and then you're fighting the Joker by yourself or something along those lines.
I think it's an interesting concept, too, like in hearing Ryan talk about it. So Ryan grew up, you know, Ryan's what you, I think, would consider a pretty manly man, you know, growing up on a farm, growing up, you know, playing sports. It was very, you know, when we talk about this idea of gender identity and gender roles, like Ryan's your typical just kind of guy's guy. And so, you know, I think it's important what he's saying to, like, as children get older, and especially, you know, with males and females, but with, like, our son, like, allowing him to have those emotions and express those feelings and not repressing those, because as children get older, there's so much confusion, there's, you know, there's all kinds of gender identity issues, and you don't want that to take a toll on their mental health. You want them to be okay with who they are and allow them to understand that there's all different kinds of people in the world and that it's all okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, two points that I make from a therapeutic level is, well, actually from stories. So one is that first, we often, again, think of these as society as one point, accepting more diversity is also displaying, as we talked about the Batman ideal, more, or the political ideal, or the corporate world, or on and on, it's displaying more of a polarity, a black and white mentality, good or bad, right or wrong, you know, yada, yada. But it's also, when we think of gender, you know, people are, you know, I came into this 24 years ago doing therapy thinking, you know, there really is, if you're straight, you're straight. If you're gay, you're gay. And it is not that way. And there really is a larger spectrum that most people are on. That, yes, you could be 90% straight, but that doesn't mean you're not 10%, you know, have a connection. And that I could look at somebody else's anatomy does not mean I am crossing, you know, that doesn't mean I'm not straight or something. You know, it's not as simplistic and black and white as we feel when we're insecure like it has to be.
There was a wonderful article I read a little while ago that was basically about how the whole idea of gay versus straight is actually a modern idea.
Yes.
There was always same-sex sexual experience, I mean, throughout all of history, and also romantic experience, but that was not always considered to be... It's very recent to have a thing where you say, okay, I am straight, and that defines all of your relationships, or I am gay, and that defines all of your relationships. So there was, in other eras, certainly not Victorian England, but, you know, maybe during the time of the ancient Greeks and other periods in history, there was more of a sense of comfort with just that variation, that human variation. And I think that currently in society, people are more comfortable with that from women, but there's still an enormous taboo against any kind of sexual fluidity in men. There's a belief, I think, that's quite widespread that while women can be bisexual or can sort of slide on the spectrum of sexuality, that men really are either gay or straight, and there is no in-between for them, or no going back and forth.
I'm recalling a class in my human development, a research study in my human development class that I learned about. It had to do, you had a 3-month-year-old child, and you had a male and a female, and each one was presented with a doll and a truck. So they had the doll to the left and the truck to the right, and excuse me if the time is off, so about 3 months or so, the boy and the girl would both look at the truck and the doll for the same amount of time, and then at 6 months, the girl would look at both the same, but the boy would start to look at the truck more, and then by, I think, a year old, the boy would not look at the doll at all, and the girl would look at both. And so there's just this influence in of how society influences reality. And this is sort of an unconscious level. And this is sort of beneath our awareness. And so there's another research study where at a museum, and the parents brought the kids to, they signed the release forms, and they were videotaping. And unconsciously, the parents, when they came to the science exhibits, would explain to the boy about the science. But when it came to the young girl or their daughter, they wouldn't explain the science to the daughter. And then when they were asked, you know, did they do that on purpose, they said, no, they had no idea. It's just something they were doing sort of unconsciously.
Thank you, Kyle. That made a lot of sense and very beneficial. One thing that just came up for me when Ryan was talking about the boys at his school, I was thinking about male friendships. And so men having friends, I think that in our society, it is very, there's a model for friendship between women that's very beautiful and strong and deep. And women can have relationships with each other that is, you know, they're like sisters to one another, and I think we all know what that means. There's a level of depth, trust, communication. But generally speaking, I think that men are not given that same model. If they were to have a friendship like that, a straight man was to have a relationship like that with a woman, there would be pressure probably for that to turn into a romantic relationship. And if he had a relationship like that with another man, it would be often, I think there's a tendency for people to mock that kind of friendship. But one person I know who is amazing at having true, deep friendships, one man I know is Kyle. He has these really deep, close, beautiful friendships with other guys. And I hope it's not embarrassing that I'm bringing it up. But I just think that that's amazing.
And just sort of to, thank you, Elizabeth, just sort of to, you know, go off, it's like when she starts talking about that, I feel embarrassed, you know, because I have close male friends. And then when she says the word deep, it sort of throws my mind into the gutter, you know, and these are sort of things that are happening these are signals in my brain. It's I hear those words, I hear male friendship, and all of a sudden there's an automatic connection, synaptic firing in my brain that makes me go, you know, it makes me feel that way. It makes me feel insecure about having those deep male friendships, and then it goes into this defensive mode where I'm like, no, I don't. It's just like, but sort of I reconstruct that in my brain. I hear that from my brain, and I reconstruct it to a healthy way where it's like, oh, no, yeah, it's okay. And so my first response isn't necessarily how I actually feel.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool moment to capture.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And it was good to see. What about you guys? Danielle?
Just to go off of Kyle's point a little bit earlier about the 3 months and the 6 months and then the year study, our daughter is older than our son is, so we have a lot more girl toys around the household because our house is small, and once you can only hold so many toys in a certain area, So a lot of our books, a lot of our toys are pink and purple and princesses, and our son, his name is Malcolm, he enjoys playing with a lot of Zoe's dolls. And he really enjoys reading this one particular book, Minnie's Boutique, about Minnie Mouse. And we'll go out in public, and he'll want to read that book. So sometimes at church I'll be reading it, or other places where we're reading books where we're just trying to wait quietly and be good. And it does, like Kyle said, you're a little defensive. Like, this looks kind of weird that I'm reading this book to my one-and-a-half-year-old son at this place in public.
Right.
Other people can see it, whereas it's home, it's not such a big deal. And it doesn't seem to, you don't think about it as much. You still, like, well, is this maybe going to go the wrong way? But in the end, it doesn't really matter. What's best is just making sure everybody's happy and just, you know, spending that time with your son or daughter or whoever, just making them feel the best that they can.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It's just interesting when they're this young, because like I walked over to my daughter and I asked her, I go, Zoe, are you a boy or girl? And she goes, I'm a girl. And I said, well, why are you a girl? And her response, I don't know. You know, and whether that's because it's just like she's only three and she doesn't understand that process, or whether that's just because she truly identifies as a girl right now, you know, whatever it is. But it is interesting when they're this little to kind of just see the dynamic. And you know, one thing, like, she has really gotten into wanting her nails painted and wanting to wear makeup, and I'll put some, like, blush on her cheeks, and then our son will walk over, and he wants blush on his cheeks. And it's, you know, it's interesting because, like, and I'll go ahead and, no, sure, Malcolm, and you can even, like, when it first started, like, the look on kind of Ryan's face was like, is it normal? Is that okay? And I don't think it was anything, he didn't mean anything negative by it. But it's just because it's like one of those things, I think, is with society, it becomes embedded in our brains as to this idea of what's normal and what's not. And
excellent way to end this. Thank you, guys. That was a wonderful way. And I am so glad you are teaching your children to be who they need to be. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Danielle. Bye, everyone. This is a great show.
Bye.
Bye.